Our dear God, we thank you for the joy we have in Jesus Christ. We thank you that even as we have sung, we can bring our cares and our prayers to the cross, and we can leave them with you there. And we do that now. We rejoice in you, God, our Savior, and for everything you've done for us in Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of our sins, and what we need for life, and fullness of life, and abundance of life. And as we have sung, you have given us grace upon grace, even as we walk through the wilderness of life and many times. So, Lord, we come to you with rejoicing in our hearts for all that you do. But, Lord, at the same time, we come with heaviness of hearts, and we grieve as a family, with the Virtus family now, with the loss of our brother Herman. We rejoice in his faith and the example of his faith for so many years. We rejoice with the faith with which he has faced his various health trials of the last many years, and the confidence with which he has faced even the prospect of death as he's gone through these trials, and the confidence with which he goes now to be with you forever. So, Lord, we lift up Shirley, we lift up Veronica, we lift up John, and ask that your peace would be with them, and even your joy in knowing that their dear loved one has gone to be with you. But give them your comfort, Lord. May they know your presence through their grief. May they know your presence in rest as they go through this time now, and as they make plans for the grieving and for the sharing and the rejoicing in Herman's life. Lord, we lift up Gare. We thank you for her. We thank you for her example of faith. We thank you for saving her life this week. And we thank you, Lord, for the restoration that will be done on her home. We pray also for the restoration of her spirit and of her emotions as she has dealt with a significant loss this week. And Lord, we lift her up and pray that you would provide for her every need in Christ Jesus and the needs of her and her son as they live and stay together. Lord, in the world we've faced many bits of difficult news this past week of atrocities and of terror and of things that just bring our spirits into sorrow at home and abroad. But Lord, we place again our faith in you and our hope in you, and we find our joy in you even in the midst of it, Lord. And even in this congregation, we have so much to rejoice about and be thankful. I thank you for a successful camp this summer. Although small, it was mighty, and I rejoice in you for this, and I thank you for all that we received to make it possible in so many ways. And I thank you for the rest that we receive in this summer, a summer of glorious summer that you're giving us. We pray that we as your people might find rest this summer. Many are away traveling. We ask that you would take them safely and in peace, and we ask that you would restore them and reward them for their hard work and give them your peace upon them, even as we plan for the busyness of the fall. And we pray for our leaders as they take a bit of a break, that they would find the rest that they need to go into a fall season where we want to serve you and we want to make a difference in this community. So Lord, may you be praised in everything that we say and do here this morning. Thank you for the word that you will bring us now through Chris. And Lord, speak to our hearts, we pray through Jesus, amen.
Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, we could say the trouble that they're experiencing is more than enough in the world around them. But when I hear this text in the context of what they're going through, what they're experiencing, the anxiety and the struggle, I want to say to Paul, Brother Paul, aren't you being a little insensitive? I mean, you're saying rejoice always while you're in jail, awaiting execution. You're telling them to rejoice always while they're in the middle of a church fight. And you don't say it just once, but you say it twice to them. Rejoice always? Seriously, Paul? Right here? Right now? Let your gentleness be evident to all. Have you ever been in a church argument before? Been in a tent? Agree on budget priorities? Is it easy to be gentle then? What about at work? Or with your neighbor who is very particular? Or with a family member that you haven't seen eye to eye with for decades? Let your gentleness be evident to all? Really? I mean, most people, yes, but everybody? And then this one, do not be anxious about anything. And that seems to be in our culture, the two biggest challenges for us in terms of mental health are loneliness and anxiety. It's something that seems to be just the fabric of our life in North America right now, that we carry anxiety with us. It's not even the volume of traffic on the QEW. I mean, it's every area of our life. He says, do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. In every situation, thanksgiving? How do we do that when we hear the reports that came into the news late last night and this morning of the shooting in El Paso and the shooting that happened in Ohio? How do we do that with the migrant kids who are being put in camps on the border of the U.S. and Mexico? How do we, and the racism continues, not just in the States, but here in Canada as well. How do we, in every situation, offer thanksgiving to God? Some people have called this Paul's firework passage. And it's because these four commands that are in here get the most attention. Rejoice always. Ooh, ah. Imagine sitting at the fireworks watching this. Rejoice always and you ooh and ah. And then let your gentleness be evident to all. It's like another firework going off. And don't be anxious. It's another big one. And with thanksgiving, present your requests. And you get another firework. Some believe this might have been Paul's last letter, and so one commentator even called it Paul's grand finale. Think of all those explosive commands. But the grace for the church in Philippi and the grace for us is a quiet little sentence that's right in the middle of all the commands. It's this in verse 5. The Lord is near. Now, there's something about that word near that we have to understand, and commentators debate what to do with this word because it has two meanings to it. The first meaning is near in time, as in it's almost the holiday. The holiday is near at hand, Civic Day tomorrow, right? It's near. But the other is physically near. I know, Chong, so I'm near. Close to each other, near. And commentators can't decide what Paul meant with this word in this text. Did he mean near at time, or did he mean near at hand? He's touching somebody close to them. And when you sit and think about it, it's a beautiful word for Paul to choose because both meanings are really important to us as Christians. And they make the rest of the text possible to understand. You see, the Lord drew near to us. He came close to us. God isn't at a distance watching over us, as Bette Midler sang way back in the 80s. He drew near to us. He came close to us. He became one with us. He physically became close. And not only that, but God sent the Holy Spirit to dwell in our hearts so that we can say that even right now, the Lord is here in our midst. The Lord is near to us in the midst of all our anxieties, in the midst of all our worries and fears and doubts, in the midst of things that we can't explain and governmental systems that seem beyond our control, and sins like racism that just don't seem to ever be uprooted. The Lord is near at hand. The Lord is with us. But not only that, the Lord is near in that the Lord is coming back. And this text and Paul's promise here, Paul's words here in the midst of these impossible commands, Paul's word that the Lord is near reminds us that the circumstances we live in are not the end of the story. It may be painful. It may be difficult. But they're not the final word. The final word is that Jesus will return and make all things new. That all the trouble in our lives and the trouble in the world will come to an end. And there will be where there is no more chaos, no more sin, no more dying, no more mourning, no more pain. For the old order of things, the painful things that we live in now will pass away. And God Himself will dwell with us. The Lord is near. In the midst of our circumstances, we remember that the Lord is near. And because the Lord is near, we can rejoice always. And not just once, but again and again and again. We can rejoice because the Lord is near. We can be gentle because the Lord is near to us. Even when people position themselves as enemies against us, even when people take advantage of us, even when people hurt us, even when circumstances seem to fall apart around us or in our own bodies, we can be gentle because the Lord is near to us. The Lord is near both in body and in spirit and in time. The Lord has drawn near to us. Therefore, we do not need to be anxious, though circumstances threaten to undo us. The Lord is near. And because the Lord is near, we can take everything, every circumstance and situation, and by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, we can present it to the Lord. Lord, we thank you that you are here with us and that what we are feeling and experiencing is not beyond your control or beyond your sight, but you see us. You hear us. You are drawing near to us. You are at work even now to make all things new. And what we see on the news and what we hear from a doctor and what we feel and experience in our own homes, that's part of what you care about. That's part of what you are working. That's part of what you have come in your Son Jesus Christ to set right. See, what God did on the cross and Jesus Christ was a culminating moment, but it was also a beginning moment of that work of making all things new. That as Christ died on the cross, he defeated sin, and as he rose from the dead, he undid death, the consequences of sin. And he continues that work of making all things new, of undoing the consequences of sin, and we have been assured in Scripture that the Lord who is near to us is at work even now. He's making all things new, including us. So where do we go with this? How do we take this promise that the Lord is near, and how do we live that out? I'm going to give us an assignment. A simple one right now. A way of practicing this scripture in the service. I want you to find somebody else in the sanctuary. It may mean some of us need to get up and move, and that's okay. And just simply say to them, "The Lord is near." Look them in the eye and say, "The Lord is near." You have permission to get up in the sermon and move around. To move around, walk, say to somebody else, "The Lord is near." We're not accustomed to this, are we? It feels kind of uncomfortable, doesn't it? But there's something important about this. Because one of the ways that God is tangibly near to us is through each other. He's given us the gift of each other, to be with each other in the midst of circumstances that are going directions we never imagined possible. He's given us the gift of each other to be the body of Christ to each other. And not just to each other, but actually to the world around us. So the encouragement then, as we go from this place, is not only to learn how do we say to one another that the Lord is near, but how do we live and speak in such a way in the world around us that the rest of the world begins to hear that even now, the Lord is near. He's not forgotten us. He's not forgotten the world that he loves. He's not forsaken it or abandoned it. The Lord is still here. And so this coming week, I encourage each of us who are here this morning to make it our mission to say to just one other person somewhere during this week, send an email, call them up, find some tangible way to give them a small gift or a card, some way of saying to somebody else, "You know what? I see you, and I want to let you know that the Lord is near, and I'm here too." And as we do that, we begin to experience what it means to be the body of Christ in the midst of a world that often feels chaotic and lonely and anxious. And then we get the promise. We will see firsthand the promise that's at the end of the passage. Did you notice what that promise is? "And the peace of God." Isn't that neat? "The peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." No action required on your part. You don't have to bring God's peace. You don't have to manufacture God's peace. It's a promise that because the Lord is near and we're learning to live in the reality of the Lord being near to us, God's peace will be with us. God is giving us his peace. Not taking us out of the circumstances. He's still got work to do and he's still working to make all things new. But in the midst of our circumstances, God promises us to give us his peace. Let's pray. God of grace and glory, creator of heaven and earth, magnificent God, holy and so beyond us, we are in awe that you have drawn close to us, that you are near to us. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to remember again and again and again that you are with us, that you have not abandoned us or forsaken us, but that you have come close to us in Jesus Christ, that you have filled us with your presence in the Holy Spirit, and that you dwell with us even now. Lord, we also take hope from your word that one day you will come back and you will finish that work of making all things new. And we cry out for that day and look forward to that day, saying, "Maranatha, Lord, quickly." And even as we pray that prayer, we ask that you give us the strength and the courage to be your presence to the people around us. those in the pews here today and those on the streets and in our workplaces and neighborhoods and other places that we encounter others. That you, Lord, may make yourself known through us, that we and the people around us might experience your peace. And we pray this, Lord, that you would do this until the day in which your shalom fills the whole earth. In Christ Jesus we pray. Amen.